The Leach Report Radio Network is on the air with the voice of the Wildcats, Tom Leach. Join in with the rest of Big Blue Nation to get the latest insights and opinions on your Kentucky Wildcats from an all-star lineup of guests. If you have a question for Tom or one of our guests, tweet him to @LeachReport or email to LeachReport@gmail.com. And you can call toll-free anywhere across the Commonwealth of Kentucky at 877-904-1080. Now, here's Tom.
Man, is it cold. But, hey, that's not breaking news, right? But it is so cold. Welcome into our show. Hopefully you're warm and inside somewhere. Office, a home, a building of some sort, a vehicle. And you're somewhat warm as we talk UK sports with you for the balance of this hour. Coming up today, we will chat with Larry Vaught, our friend from Danville, with his take on the Cats, and Freddie Maggard will be in for our wrap-up Monday morning quarterback on a Tuesday because of the holiday. So that's our lineup for today. Guest lineup each day, always presented on the show by Sleep Outfitters. You can interact with us via Twitter, @LeachReport, if you have questions for our guests, a few already coming in. If you want to email, it's LeachReport@gmail.com, or you can always give us a call at 877-904-1080, toll-free anywhere in Kentucky. Wildcat News of the Day is a service of Cardinal Point Financial Group, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services. It's all SEC for the National Championship of College Football, and I think I saw where Alabama's an early favorite over Georgia. The matchup that many thought we were going to see in Atlanta last month for the SEC Championship. Both of these teams, their only loss was to Auburn, which lost in its bowl game yesterday to Central Florida. So Auburn's got to be sitting there thinking, why are we already done? But Georgia and Alabama took care of business yesterday. What a game in the Rose Bowl between Georgia and Oklahoma. The Dogs rallied from 17 down, and then Alabama convincing win over Clemson. Coach Cal's radio show last night talked a little bit about defensive communication that was high on his agenda. He said his message today to his guys, if they're not talking, they're running. So I would suspect the level of communication will start to pick up. Cal is, we talked a little bit about this last night on the show. He's a guy who's very secure in who he is. He's been doing this long enough that he'll be patient. He'll, you know, not panic if they take a loss or two or three along the way. But at some point, that patience wears thin. And he, you know, he starts out each year, kind of lets guys have a chance to define their best way to play or the way they're going to be most effective. And then he and the coaching staff will at some point decide, okay, here's how we need you to play. And expect them to fit into that role. And then there are other things that he'll be a little lenient on, and he'll be patient with. And at some point, if it's not happening, then he's going to let them know that there's a sense of urgency. And that's, I think, clearly what he's looking for here. It's time to start picking up the pace defensively and being the kind of team that they're going to need to be to have a shot to make a run in March. Being unselfish is another part of that. And he talked about that for the first half of the Georgia game being an issue. He said what Shea Gilgeous-Alexander is doing right now, not going to be able to continue to do. Teams will make him give up the ball. They'll make sure he doesn't get to the rim to get some of those layups that he's getting. And that's certainly understandable. So he's going to have to find teammates. Just part of the learning process for the team. But it's going to be interesting to watch it unfold over the next couple of months now that they're into conference play, with one exception being the trip to West Virginia, which is, I think, 13-1 now after winning at Kansas State last night, 77-69. I think that West Virginia game is going to be huge. It's not one that Kentucky should be expected to win. That is a tough place to win in any year. But it's one that could greatly increase Kentucky's resume, because in this non-conference season, you know, 29-point win over Louisville looks good, but Louisville's not ranked. And you know, you want to see Louisville have a good season because it would help Kentucky's resume. But at this point, Kentucky doesn't have a win over a ranked team. Good showing, certainly, against Kansas. But the UCLA loss looks bad on the resume. But if you offset that with a win at West Virginia, then the impact of that UCLA loss is greatly diminished. Kentucky dropped one spot in the poll this week, despite routing Louisville and winning over Georgia. And how did Shea Gilgeous-Alexander not win SEC Freshman of the Week or Player of the Week, something, after the two games that he had? Courier Journal's John Hale caught up to the folks at the Pac-12. They had no comment on the officiating in the Music City Bowl. They said, quote, they will stand by the post-game statement provided to the Pool Reporter. We'll talk more about that when we move through the program today with our guests. College basketball, mentioned the only big game of note was ranked team. Anyway, it was West Virginia winning. And I say ranked team in a tough spot. There may have been one or two others. Texas won an overtime game over Iowa State last night in a good win in the Big 12. Links to the stories that we talk about can be found on the Bud Light Leach Report page at TomLeachKY.com. Larry Vaught, next up when we return. Freddie Maggard, a little later. It's the Leach Report, served up by Wild Eggs, our first live show for 2018. Belated Happy New Year to all you guys. Going to have a fun year in 2018. We'll get it rolling with Larry Vaught when we come right back.
Can't get to a radio? You can listen to us live on the web at talkradio1080.com. Now, back to the show.
Larry Vaught joins the program. Larry, do you make New Year's resolutions?
No, Tom, I'm just happy to have another year. That's my only resolution, is to get to another year. So
when you, I can appreciate that.
Age, when you get to a certain age, I'm just glad there's still another year here.
I like that. That works. We'll start with just a quick thought on a column that you have written, the most recent one. And your column comes up, I assume this is the one that goes out to papers around the state, wondering why, as I did at the top of the show, why Shea Gilgeous-Alexander didn't win something. And it probably, well, should have been Freshman of the Week. The young man at Arkansas, as you point out, had a Player of the Week worthy performance last week, but Shea should have been Freshman of the Week.
Yeah, I just don't get it, Tom. I mean, certainly John Petty of Alabama had a very worthy one game and a home win over a ranked team that was without two starters, which makes a little bit of a difference there. But
yeah,
Shea's numbers were better for two games. And, of course, Louisville is regarded as a really good team. And I just don't get it. I just don't know what any player could do better than what Shea Alexander did for two games to not get Freshman of the Week. And I know it's not a huge deal. I don't imagine it's made him lay awake too much at night. It'll probably get John Calipari talking to you a little bit again on his weekly show about the lack of respect for Kentucky. So, I mean, that's just going to fuel that fire with him, I think. But I just don't get it, unless the reasoning is that some people think Kentucky gets so many of those honors. John Petty hadn't had one. Let's just give John Petty one.
But they haven't gotten them this year. I mean, they have in the past, but not this year. They haven't gotten that many.
No, it's almost like that's a theory that's been working all year long against Kentucky or something. I don't know. Of course, as your buddy Mike Pratt pointed out quickly to me on Twitter this morning, motivation. And you would think it would be, but sometimes today's athletes, I'm not sure things like that maybe even bother them or motivate them as much as they used to. Those in our age bracket growing up, when you felt slighted, you wanted to go out and just bust your butt to show people what was going on. I'm not sure today's athletes are quite that way, but we will see. But regardless, Shea Alexander had a terrific weekend of basketball.
Going to get to a quick call. John is on the line. What do you have, John?
Yes, I'd like to ask about the bowl game. I was curious if they could have asked for a review on that play with Benny and the ref, because the ref said that Benny didn't say anything, so everything would be on tape, and seems like that would have been the perfect opportunity to ask for a review.
Don't believe that's reviewable, right, Larry?
Yeah, because officials are always right, John.
I mean, wonder if you had a phone number or something if you could call. I mean, you know, that guy must have a superior. I mean, they review all these plays.
John Hale of the Courier-Journal caught up to his superiors at the Pac-12 yesterday, and they are standing by the post-game statement of the lead official.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's what they have to do, but I mean, it's too late. It's over.
Actually, don't.
It'd be nice. It'd be nice if they'd been able to do something right there.
Yeah, that mechanism is not there. It was a judgment ruled by the official at that point, and it's not like, you know, did he step out of bounds or not. And
but they might want to consider bringing that up to maybe make that a rule to where on something like that they could ask for, you know, you give up a timeout or whatever you wanted to do to have it reviewed. Might be a good new rule.
It's just our job. They're not going to review what an official makes a decision like that, because if we did the games with last 12 hours plus, they're never going to overturn an official's decision on something like that, on his judgment. They're just not going to do it.
Because what you'd be saying, John, is not to say, could you look at the tape? We thought his foot was in bounds. You ruled him out of bounds. You're saying, calling time out to say, hey, you overreacted there. Do you want to reconsider?
Yep. It'd be nice if you had a little time to think about it.
Yes, it would.
All right. Okay, well, thanks so much.
All right. I would like to think he would have, with a little time to think about it, would have reconsidered. It feels like, Larry, that since John brought it up, we'll get to that play, that number one, he reaches down to, looks like, to help Benny up, which he has no business doing. You know, the official's not his job to put his hands out to or on a player. And it looked like Benny, number one, was frustrated because he thought there perhaps should have been a penalty for the continued tackling beyond the whistle of the Northwestern players. And so he's a little frustrated. And so somebody, it could have been a teammate, he would have reacted just the same. He's like, I don't need your help, you know.
Yeah.
You know, and just pushing the hands back. It wasn't like it was a shove into the chest of the official. He didn't jump up and get in his face. He just pushed his hands away. He did touch him. But that's one where you have to use, I think, as an official, judgment. And to step back. Step back and just, or if nothing else, step back. Two things. Number one, step back and see if he's going to get up and really get after you. And if he does, then it's easy call. Then you just, you know, he's already touched you. And if he gets up and gets right in your face, which he didn't do, and he didn't say anything, the official has said that. And the other thing would be is, give him an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty. Do not eject him because the rule, I think, is forcibly contact an official. He certainly didn't do that.
No, he sure did not. And I watched, five games yesterday on TV. I had a really rugged, strenuous day. And I saw several instances where the same type things, maybe happened, where an official kind of got in between players to make sure nothing happened, and one of them might have just, you know, kind of bumped him as they were walking away or something like that. Didn't see a single thing called like that. The officials handled things the way that they should have. They knew they'd kind of interjected themselves into that situation to make sure nothing happened. They just let the players walk away. That's the thing with Benny. If he didn't want your help, then just walk away. I also saw an instance where there was a player hurt on the sideline. The officials immediately stopped the game until the player was up and able to go. Unlike where Mark Stoops had to rant and rave to try to get the official to come over to even look at seeing Steven Johnson laying there, and ends up with somebody saying something on the sideline and Kentucky getting a penalty there. If you just stop the game, none of that happens to begin with right there. So that just was not a very well officiated game on many, many levels right there. And that was just kind of, I guess, the one that sticks out the most. But there were a lot of other calls in that game that it just was not a well officiated game.
We're chatting with Larry Vaught. You can read him at vaughtsviews.com, also at lex18.com. We'll take a quick break. Got a call from Thomas we'll get to when we come right back. It's the Leach Report. We're served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington.
It's the Leach Report on Talk Radio 1080. Tweet us at Leach Report or email leachreport@gmail.com.
Chat with Larry Vaught, and we have Thomas on the line here on the Leach Report. What you got, Thomas?
Hey, Tom, first I just want to thank you. I'm an active duty service member down in Louisiana, and being able to hear your radio calls for the games always gives me a piece of home, so I appreciate that.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for your service.
Thank you. Hey, So I'm a huge football fan. It always bothers me hearing on the radio shows the negativity surrounding Mark Stoops and the program regarding, you know, what could have been. I'm just wondering if, you know, I was at the game down in Nashville with my parents, and it felt like the fan base who was there felt satisfied at the end of the year. I'm wondering what your feel was and what Larry's feel was for the end of the season. You know, obviously without the Louisville win last year, the excitement kind of seems like it's not there heading into next year.
I thought, and we'll see what Larry's take is, I thought they won some of their fans back with the way they played in the bowl game, particularly after losing Benny Snell and having that kind of adversity and against a team that had won seven straight, ranked 21st in the country, was a solid favorite, and to be in a position to win the game at the end. I thought they won some of their fans back with with the heart that they played with. Larry, what about you?
I think you're absolutely right. I think it's that rare instance where you lost a game but won a fan base back, because I've heard, I mean, there's still some that aren't going to jump on board, but I think most people like the effort and energy they played with, like the decision-making that Mark Stoops made during the game, and I think a lot of people kind of came back to the team, and hopefully that will carry over into next year. But I think the feeling is much better today about Kentucky football team than say it was 3 weeks ago.
Thomas, anything else?
Awesome. Yeah, see, for me, it's pure excitement. I continue to see the program grow. I continue to see Mark Stoops' players improve. I like the fact that, you know, it stinks that Denzel Ware couldn't play, but it shows a lot that Mark Stoops was still willing to take out one of his best players for a behavioral or a breaking team rules. And, you know, I like Stoops. I like what he's done with the program, and I'm excited about the future. So I appreciate it, Tom. Go Cats.
Thank you, Thomas. Larry, let's jump back to basketball, and you have a story up at LAX18.com. The headline says Kevin Knox has to be the guy for Kentucky to reach its full potential. What do you need to see?
Well, just kind of quoting a little bit about what John Calipari said, but he just got to get back to being the offensive player that he was early in the season. He's got to get back to where he's in the flow more. He's got to get some confidence back in his shot. Three of his last five games, he's really struggled with his shot, and really other than the one little hot streak he hit against UCLA, all five of the games he just has kind of seemed out of sync. And I've had some friends talk to me about it, and you probably noticed too, Tom, that said, well, his body language just looks out of sorts and this and that. And I kind of make a little too that he reminds me a little bit of Eric Bledsoe, and it took me a while to figure out that sometimes when Eric Bledsoe's body language didn't look good, it was just because Eric Bledsoe was mad at Eric Bledsoe. He wasn't mad at anybody else.
Yeah.
He just was upset that he wasn't playing better. And I think that's the same with Kevin Knox. I don't think he has any problems with John Calipari, teammates, or anything like that. I think he's just frustrated that he's not playing better. But he's just too good a player to think that he's not going to get things back going. I mean, you go back and look at what people said about him when he signed, about what people said about him going into the season, the way he played early in the season. So my theory is, if your biggest worry right now is how Kevin Knox is going to be playing in March for Kentucky, then you're going to have a pretty good March with Kentucky, because I think by then he's going to be back on board. But he's the one offensive guy that you need to be able to count on night in and night out to be productive. I mean, it's great what Shea did, but that's kind of rough to expect him to do that every night. Kevin's the guy that's got to get you that 14 to 18 points and hit a good percentage of shots. And I still think he will be. He just has gone through a little bit of a funk here.
Larry, thanks much. Talk to you next week.
All right,
Tom. You can read that story and the rest at LAX18.com and BoxViews.com. And we'll be right back with Freddie Mac on the Leach Report, served up by Wilder.
This is the Leach Report on Talk Radio 1080. You can follow Tom on Twitter. It's at Tom Leach, KY.
26 away from the top of the hour. It's the Leach Report. We are served up by Wild Eggs. Two locations in Lexington. One is in Hamburg, and the other is in the Palomar Center. Locally owned and operated. They're open 7 days a week. And some great healthy choices on the menu, too, if you're starting out the new year with a resolution to be better with your choices there. Gluten-free menu. Everything's made from scratch, so You can certainly make healthy choices, or you can be a little decadent every once in a while if you want to. You can go either way and be quite happy with your selection at locally owned and operated Wild Eggs. We are efforting Freddie Maggard. Hopefully he will join us here shortly as the Wildcats now look to spring practice and the 2018 season. And one of the stories that we didn't get to with Larry that you can also read at his LEX18.com site is about Steven Johnson and the wonderful 2 years that he gave Kentucky football fans quite unexpectedly when he came here as a junior college player, undersized junior college QB that they had to find at the last minute when a couple of other quarterbacks transferred out. And they found this guy who had started his career at Grambling and then transferred to the College of the Desert junior college. And nobody expected much of anything. And after spring practice, I don't think anybody expected anything. He didn't look particularly sharp in that first spring practice. But in about the second half of training camp of that first year here, I saw kind of a light bulb come on for Steven Johnson. He started hitting some deep throws in particular, which became a big part of his first year here. And he clearly had a presence about him that I think is going to be the legacy that he has. Leadership, toughness, those kinds of things. You will find more skilled quarterbacks that come along, stronger arms, more accurate, faster, etc. But he had a solid skill set, but it was those intangibles that I think Steven scored highest on and that he'll be most remembered for, the way that he led his team. And he won games. You can say, you know, if you are of the opinion that it, you know, wasn't all him, fine, that's fine. But he's the guy who was under center for 14 wins, started, I think, 12, and then was played the majority of the other two, and was just inches away from having a 15th win. Let's get back to basketball for a second while we're efforting Freddie. I wanted to play an interview. Didn't have enough time in the opening segment. This was after the Georgia game Sunday night. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, 24 against Louisville, came back with 21 against Georgia, and really took charge of the second half of both of those games and was very, very crafty with the basketball. Mike Pratt talked about how he has a higher dribble and he kind of entices guys to think they can take the ball away from them, and he's got a little bit of a body lean like a running back does, where when a guy starts to come after the ball, he kind of can get into the body and go by them. And he's just it's been described as an old man's game by some. I think just a very crafty player, obviously great athleticism, but just a very crafty player as well, high basketball IQ guy, it appears. And we talked to him about some of those things after that win over Georgia on Sunday.
Big moments. I've watched film a lot lately. And after the UCLA game, I realized there were spots where I let the defense off the hook and stuff like that, where I could attack them and put pressure on them. I just try to take advantage of that.
Thanks.
No problem. You seem to be playing with a lot of confidence right now. Mm-hmm. What brought that about?
I guess working really hard. And once you work, you build that confidence, and once you build it, no one can take it from you. And I guess I've done so.
Coach Fox of Georgia talked about one of the things he liked about your game was how you sustained the dribble. It seems like you almost kind of bait guys a little bit with your game, and then they think they're going to steal it, and then you can kind of attack.
Yeah, that's something I've worked on in the past couple of years, and it's really helped a lot.
How much of a lift do you think you got from the crowd tonight when it was...
How much of a what?
A lift did you get from the crowd when it was tough? You guys had, you know, for a long time couldn't get over the hump to the lead, but they seemed to kind of will you to another level.
Personally, it helped a lot. A couple of plays after we went on the run, I was really tired, but I'm hearing the crowd go crazy, put a little boost to me, and I didn't feel it anymore.
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, and you can tell, a thoughtful kid by the way he... you know, is answering the questions, making sure he's hearing the question correctly before he answers it. And he has been an interesting story because he wasn't the most highly touted guy. He wasn't the guy that was playing in the McDonald's game. But he was the guy that we all heard coming into the season being touted as the biggest surprise, biggest revelation to people who were watching the pickup games, and that has certainly carried over now into the season. We're about 20 minutes away from the top of the hour. It's the Leach Report, and we are served up by Wild Eggs, and we are not having any luck with Mr. Maggard, so we're going to take a quick break, come right back. It is the Leach Report, Radio Network. 17 away from the top of the hour, and we have not had any luck reaching out to Mr. Maggard, so we're going to get Mr. Vaught back to join us to finish up the show today, and there's a couple other things we can get to with Larry. So I appreciate you jumping back on board with us and doing a little overtime duty today.
Well, I guess my New Year's resolution will be that whenever Freddie Maggard isn't around, I'll be available.
There you go. I'm all for that one. This is we'll get to a few questions here that have come in from listeners. This is from TJ. Can you elaborate on how Kentucky beats a rival, good rival, by 30, 29, and a very good conference team, and drops one spot in the poll? Please tell me how that is possible. And I don't really have a good answer for that. I'm looking at the rankings here. Part of what happens, I assume, Larry, is it's the holidays. There's not a lot of big games going on at that time, so there's not a lot of opportunities for ranked teams to lose, and so there's not much change. Villanova lost, but they were so high they weren't going to drop below Kentucky. Arizona State lost for the first time. They weren't going to drop. But because Arizona State was undefeated and Arizona, a three-loss Arizona team jumped ahead of Kentucky. So that's one reason why Kentucky moved down a notch, that Arizona State jumped up to 14. So you can debate that one. TCU suffered their first loss, but it was to a top 10 team in Oklahoma. That's probably the two reasons why Kentucky ended up one notch down, and I think probably the Arizona one's the one you can debate the most because they do have three losses. Any take from you?
I just think, Tom, it's lack of respect. Kentucky's got to go out and smash people now. I mean, yeah. Isn't that what Calipari, isn't that what John will tell you? So,
well, he actually said that last night, I think, on the show. He at some point, I forget exactly how he said it, but he said that basically it was a message to, you know, to his guys. You're just going to go out and have to take the respect.
Yeah, and that's what they're just going to have to do. And again, just I didn't think they would probably move up for the reason of what you said, and I didn't really think that they would. I mean, I never really imagined they would drop, but then, like I said, when I saw the results and that they moved Arizona up in front of them, and again, when you beat a team that's ranked that high, you know, Arizona was playing at home, and I can kind of understand it. Just the perception, again, looks bad, but again, if Calipari's the coach I think he is, that just adds fuel to his fire. As Mike Pratt would have said, that should just be motivation that he can just use, because you don't have to worry about telling your guys that the only reason you dropped was because Arizona beat the number two or three team in the nation, and that helped them move up above you. You just say, hey, nobody believes in us, and you just kind of use us against the world mentality. But at this point right now, to me, I've told some people that I think Kentucky fans are just going to have to kind of put rankings and losses on the back burner for a few weeks and just try to look at progress that's being made toward March, because John Calipari has shown that he can take a team in March that's not a high seed and still make them into a really high competitive national championship contender. And I think this team's going to hit some bumps along, they're going to continue to hit some bumps on the road, especially in the SEC. So to me, it's going to be more important how they're playing come March than maybe where they're ranked or where they're even going to be seeded, because they're not, I don't see any way they're probably going to be a one or a two seed. And once you get past that, it's a tough struggle anywhere. So I think you just need to kind of concentrate on how they're playing and not so much where they're ranked for the next couple of months, which is not going to be easy for a Kentucky basketball fan.
Yeah, no, I think you make a very good point. All right, we have Mr. Maggard online, so let's keep you guys both online for the remainder of the show here. Hello, Fred. Freddy?
Hello, Tom. How are you doing?
You'll have a little extra running. Couldn't reach you.
Yeah. I got to go get on the exercise bike and do some push-ups. Yeah, I know.
We want you outside in the cold.
No. I don't have to do that anymore, Larry. Once I left the Army, I don't get cold, wet, tired unless I want to. So,
Freddie, Ben said, when you join the Leach Report, will Benny Snell be kicked out of the game again?
That's being debated right now. It's up to 5 ejections as we speak, Tom. And I'm trying to get a little creative here because, I am mad. I mean, I did take it personal because Kentucky, Northwestern, I'm mad because in a weird sense, a part of me protects the fan. It feels protective of the fans and the players. And I feel both the players and the fans got cheated out of a moment of an exhibition game that's intended to be about the fans, but one man wanted it to be about him in a disjointed and inefficient manner, and it took the enjoyment away from so many people. And, yeah, I took it personal, and, yeah, I'm going to keep going because that's not what exhibition or bowl season is all about.
It's Let me not. Get you guys.
I mean, that's just wrong to me, and I'm going to keep going.
Let me get you guys to give me a take on this because we clearly think a mistake was made. It was mishandled. So when that happens with officials, how should that be handled? To me, assuming I know nothing about this gentleman's background as far as, you know, is he considered one of the better officials in the league? If not, you would think he would be him or his crew would be considered high enough, ranked well enough to have gotten a bowl assignment. So let's assume that there's no reason to think he's a poor official. So he's I would hope that the supervisors, his league in this case, would say, okay, you didn't have a good day there. That play and others, the Steven Johnson tackle out of bounds, you didn't have a good day. You don't get fired for one bad day. You don't get fined for one bad day. But you're not eligible for a bowl game next season. You have a good year, then you'll get eligible to be considered for a bowl game the next season with a good year. But there's got to be some accountability. And that's what from a fan standpoint, something like that is what I would like to see in terms when officials have a bad day, because players and coaches are accountable with their jobs or their draft stock or whatever it might be. How about you guys?
That's another reason I'm not dropped it, and that's another reason I'm going to keep going, Tom, is because the Big 12 basically say we support what was said to the press, to the reporter after the game, which is obviously not what I saw happen with the referee and Benny Snell, not what the pictures and video support. So somebody's not telling the truth there. So,
Larry, yeah,
if you're going to make an error in front of it, when it's on video, man up and let's move forward.
Yeah.
Second of all, when Steven Johnson was hit 16 feet, I gave away a trivia question. I'm going to ask my podcast. His head was 16 feet out of bounds. The referee did not stop play, kept going, which is a player safety issue. Mark Stoops didn't say anything to that referee. I was right there. Nobody did. And then here comes the flag on Kentucky. Then you kick Patty Fisher out for a targeting call, a bogus targeting call. So if I pay good money, and I'm one of the best running backs and best linebackers in the game play, and they kick both of them out, and you pay good money to come watch them again, I feel protected that the fans and players got cheated out of an experience over a disjointed officiating crew.
Larry, your take.
I think Freddie's exactly right. I think you just have to come back out and say, just like when you are in a discussion with your wife and you know you're wrong, you just have to man up and say, I was wrong. And I think if after the game the official had just said, looking back, I probably could have handled that better, and I may not have done the right thing. I just admitted that maybe he made a mistake and he handled it wrong, then I think you move on and everything's fine. But when you just blatantly come out.
I agree.
And why you would come out and say what you did, knowing in this day and age, I mean, 40 years ago, you could have done that because wouldn't have anybody that had the video to show that you were lying. But
just
come out and say you made a mistake, because, I mean, most of us have made plenty of mistakes.
Sure.
But when you come out and lie about it, you just compound it. And then when the Pac-12, basically, I mean, Pac-12 would have been better off saying, we just aren't going to comment on it, then they'll come out and say, well, we support what he said.
Kick them out and bring the AAC in, because I'm done with the Pac-12. This is how mad I was. I was starved to death. I hadn't eaten since the morning. I was about to ready to run out of gas. I did not stop to eat or eat or buy gas until I got out of that godforsaken city and state and got to Bowling Green. And I will never spend another dime in that city of Nashville. I'm done with it. That's
Ooh. It. We'll tell you, Larry, we'll cut you loose. I got to get to a break. We'll come back. I got one more question for Freddie that came in from a listener. We'll get that when we come back. Larry, appreciate you jumping back on.
All right, guys.
We'll wrap it up in just a moment with Freddie Maggard here on the Leach Report Radio Network, served up by Wild Eggs. We're back with Freddie Maggard, and I've got a question from one of our regulars on our Monday morning quarterback shows that are always presented by Shuffle Bean Coffee, Freddie, and this is a Tuesday edition, and he has an issue with a couple of things. One is, he said, I want the media and the pro two-point conversion people to explain to me why it's okay to go for two there rather than play the odds and kick the extra point and go to overtime like Kirby Smart did last night.
Okay.
My thought was, here's my thought, and you can give me yours. Yeah. It's just, I thought that they, to me, Kentucky's without its best offensive player, and it's from a really bad coaching decision to go for it at your own 39-yard line and come up short. Were they in the position that they were? And given how they, I was fine with taking my shot there. I actually thought the odds of getting the two-point conversion play were, I would think, to me, would be better than winning in overtime against a team that was dominating in the rushing statistic. But I will say it's a debatable point. It's not a slam dunk to me. But what about you?
Yeah. If, you know, the reason that Georgia kicked the extra point to go to overtime is you're playing to advance. Kentucky and Northwestern was an exhibition game for the fans. You're playing, I talked to three head coaches, college head coaches about it, and they said, listen, I'd have done the same exact thing because it's a Music City Bowl. They're not playing for a national championship. There's a reason that Pat Fitzgerald went for it on fourth down six times in that game, including on his 39. The momentum was clearly all Kentucky. Now, Kentucky had done a good job on Justin Jackson in the second half, but Northwestern had still ran for 300 yards. That running game could have gotten cranked back up with Justin Jackson, advantage Northwestern, because Kentucky's only method of offense was throwing the football. You start as a 25, the field is condensed. I think it is the move to go for two, go for the win with the momentum in that situation. I think Mark Stoops had the right call because again, you're not playing to advance to another game. You're playing for an exhibition bowl game. The momentum's on your side. About every head coach that I know would have done the same thing. Right call to go for two.
About 30 seconds here, so this is a quick one. But he, Cat's Den is who the listener is. Asks us a lot of questions regularly. He doesn't like the idea of it being called an exhibition game.
That's what it is. It's an exhibition game. It's not a regular season game. You're not playing for a title. Thus, by definition, it's an exhibition game.
Freddie, that's going to do it. We are out of time. I appreciate you all season long. We'll be talking again soon as we get to spring practice, and we'll catch you here soon when we get closer to signing day too. But great job again all season.
Okay, thanks, Tom. You have a good day. Bye.
You too. That's Freddie Maggard, and that's going to do it for us. We'll be back tomorrow from Baton Rouge.
Thanks
on
for
Leach
listening
Report.
To The Leach Report. Make sure you check out the podcast page at tomleachky.com whenever you miss a show. And be sure to follow The Leach Report Facebook page.